Daniel 1. You can be seated. Daniel chapter 1. Go ahead and be seated. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. If you can turn there, Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to read one verse in the Bible. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 21. If you can get there, that would be a blessing. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 21. So glad to be here. So glad my wife gets to be here. And we may mention that later, but she's the best. And obviously I think so, but I really do think so. So glad she could be here. Daniel 1, 21. And we're going to read this. Just listen as I read out loud, please. And the Bible says this. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I'm going to take those first three words today and talk about it for a few minutes. And Daniel continued. Around the time of Daniel's birth, King Josiah purged Israel and held a great Passover after hearing God's word. This is toward the end of the nation of Judah. The Bible tells us how Josiah was a great king, and around his 18th year, give or take around the time of Daniel's birth, if you go back and study it, there was a great revival in Israel. They found God's book. They found God's word, and it was a great miracle that happened. But basically, Josiah said, we got to follow God's book. And Josiah said, we're going to change everything. They had the biggest Passover they'd ever had for many, many hundreds of years. They had a huge Passover the 18th year of Josiah, and that was around the time Daniel was born. During the time of Daniel's childhood, things were in a period of revival and renewal in the nation of Judah. 13 years later, though, probably Daniel was about 13 or so, Josiah was killed by the king of Egypt. 3 months later, the new king, Jehoahaz, was taken captive by the king of Egypt, by Pharaoh, to Egypt. Jehoiakim, who was originally named Eliakim, was made king. And in his third year, Jehoiakim's third year, we find out in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 and following, in Jehoiakim's third year, Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Jerusalem. Daniel was raised in an environment of revival and renewal. He probably had parents that were eagerly following Josiah. He probably had a lot of good teaching as a child. Not a perfect childhood by any stretch. And Israel and Judah still had a lot of problems, but Daniel had a very good childhood comparatively. And as a youth, his king went to battle against God's word, and his king got defeated. King Josiah, as I mentioned, was killed in battle by the Egyptians. The prophet Jeremiah lamented over this. You see evidence of that in the Bible. The Lamentations were written after that, of course. A new king was set up. The king of Egypt came and took the new king away. The king of Egypt set up his older brother. Jehoahaz, his older brother, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. I mentioned that. And Nebuchadnezzar then had victory over Pharaoh and then had victory against Jerusalem. In the third year of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem. He stole part of the vessels from God's house. Daniel was stolen from his home and family, and Daniel continued. Daniel became a eunuch soon after that, probably never saw his family again, and Daniel continued. Daniel's name was changed. We find in the Bible that Nebuchadnezzar changed the names of Daniel and his friends, and Daniel continued. Daniel was brought to Babylon, and Daniel was told to defile himself, and Daniel continued. Daniel was ordered to be killed with the other wise men just a few years later. He had chosen not to defile himself. God had given victory, and he was going to be killed. And Daniel continued. As many of you know the story in Daniel, we find out a few chapters later that Nebuchadnezzar the king was proud, and Nebuchadnezzar had a dream he couldn't interpret and so on. And Daniel continued. Nebuchadnezzar was warned in a dream to change. Meanwhile, Daniel continued. Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen, and Daniel continued. Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal. The Bible refers to this period and says, 7 times passed over to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel continued. Many people think Daniel may have led the kingdom, but whatever happened, we don't know for sure. But we know one thing for sure, Daniel continued. Nebuchadnezzar finished becoming like an animal. He became back to being king, and he died soon after, and Daniel continued. Belshazzar, the Bible calls him the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He may have been the son-in-law or something, but Belshazzar became king. And Daniel lost his status and his prominence and his influence. But yet Daniel continued. Belshazzar used God's vessels to drink wine and praise the false gods, and Daniel continued. God sent a warning, and Daniel was called to explain the warning. And Daniel said, hey, this night, The Medes and the Persians are going to take over. And Daniel continued. That night, Belshazzar the king was slain. Darius the Persian became king. Darius the Mede became king. And Daniel was promoted to a top position. And Daniel continued. His jealous peers arranged for the king to make a new decree. He said you can only worship the king, right? Darius and his jealous peers arranged for that decree. And as we know, hopefully you know this part of the story, Daniel continued. They said no one can worship any other god but the king or else be thrown into a den of lions. And Daniel, as he did aforetime, continued. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. And Daniel continued. The Bible tells here, and it tells later in the book of Daniel, how a new king, his name was Cyrus, he began to reign, and Daniel continued. And actually, we find out from the book of Daniel that Daniel actually continued past this time. But this time is significant in the Bible because from the first captivity to the first year of Cyrus was exactly 70 years, and Daniel continued. And thank you, Brother John, you can take a seat. I think that what we need to know, in this story is something very important about Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel continued for at least 70 years. And I believe he continued on that. It's hard to break that habit once you got it, right? But the Bible points out 70 years. For 70 years, Daniel continued. For 70 years, Daniel continued. I'm going to give you some points. And I'm going to give you some application, but I want to tell you right off, I want somebody, maybe a lot of somebodies today, to dare to be a Daniel today. The title, if there needs to be one today, is going to be "And Daniel Continued." And if you haven't figured it out already, that's a key phrase for today. But I wonder if you can learn from today. I propose to you this morning that we ought to be like Daniel, and we ought to find some areas that we can continue in like Daniel did. Point number one, very quickly. Number one, Daniel continued in his spiritual purity. Many of these stories will be familiar, but I believe we ought to look at it and just get a personal application here. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Look at it. If you're still on the same page, it'd be awesome to look at it. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 tells us not only that Daniel continued in Daniel 1:21, but we find out in Daniel 1:8 a little bit of the type of continuing he was doing. The Bible says this, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Here in this story, we find out that Daniel, the new mistreated, abused, physically, spiritually, and emotionally abused young man, got to the king of Babylon, got to the place that was supposed to be his new home for the next at least 70 years. And he didn't know at that point how long, but he knew this. He was supposed to be there at least 3 years. And he had a new king who was in charge of him, a new position, a new situation, new rules he was supposed to follow. But he said, there's some rules I'm not going to bend on. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to change. He said, there's certain things I'm not going to do. And by the way, young people, let me teach you something this morning in case you don't already know this. Purity is an individual choice, but you can help other people make that choice. You sit there today and you need to make the choice for purity. Yes, spiritual purity is purity. You need to make that choice for spiritual purity. And it is only your choice. The Bible says, keep thyself pure. But when you make the choice for purity, you can help Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to make the same choice. Amen. And I love that thought. I love that Daniel made this choice. He didn't say that Hananiah necessarily had this deep-seated conviction that he was going to continue in eating the right food and drinking the right drink. But we see that Daniel had this conviction. In no particular order, I have a couple other statements to make here. You don't win the battle by winning the battle. You win the battle by staying in the battle. And Daniel didn't win this battle here by saying, you know what? I'm not going to eat the king's meat. Okay, the battle's done. No. If you think the king's meat was easy to avoid the first time, it doesn't get easier the second and third and fifth and 25th and 2,000th times. How many banquets did Daniel go to and decide, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to do that. How many times in his life did he have to continue in his spiritual purity? Let me say this also. Spiritual purity and spiritual influence are always connected. Everything else Daniel did in choosing to fight for spiritual purity and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. Everything else he did was very much connected to that choice that day. The Bible doesn't tell us the exact number of captives taken on that captivity, but we know it was more than 4. We know 100% for sure it was more than 10. We see among them, there was 4 special guys from Judah. There were people taken from different tribes in Israel, different situations. Daniel apparently was a prince. Some people think he may have been related to the king. Whatever the case, he may have been a descendant of David. Whatever the case, we know this. Daniel was not the only one who had the opportunity to make the choice, but he appears to have been the only one who made the choice, and he's also the only one who had eternal spiritual significance in this story. Spiritual purity and spiritual influence are always connected. Yes, you can give in on the thing you say doesn't matter, but it will limit and maybe eliminate your spiritual influence in the future. Let me say this. When you give up on or give in on something that seems less important, important things will always follow. Hey, you don't understand. That thing that I'm giving in on isn't a big deal. It may not be a big deal, but there is a big deal coming right behind it. Hey, Daniel, when you choose to eat the king's meat and the wine which he drinks, and drink the wine that he drinks, hey, Daniel, it might not be that big of a deal. Maybe people will still say, that's a Jew. He worships the true God for a short time, but important things will follow behind that. Don't forget that, young people. Don't forget that, old people like me. What you eat and what you drink and what you wear and what you watch and what you do and what you listen to and what you read and what you think about is important. It is important. It is important. As a follower of Jesus, eventually you will disagree with the world no matter how much you try to agree. So why don't you just start disagreeing with the world right now? You might get to that point. Some Christians a few generations ago were saying, we're not going to argue about dress standards. We're not going to argue about music standards. And now they're arguing about homosexuality. Where's your line going to be? I'll just say this. I want to start right from the beginning. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The things that are in the world are the devil. And I don't want any of those. I want to love the Father and only the Father. Amen. Daniel could have given in at first, but maybe then he wouldn't have reached the king that we'll talk about in a minute. By the way, Daniel did not avoid the wine that the king drank because of a law for the Jewish nation. He may have avoided the meat for that reason. He may have avoided pork because there was a law for the Jewish nation to avoid pork. But there was no law in the Jewish nation, you can study it out, against wine. There's a lot of reasons for that. We can go into another time maybe. But here's the point. He did not avoid the wine because of his identity as a Jew. He avoided it because of his relationship with God. He knew the same verses you know. They don't directly forbid alcohol, but for example, it says, wine is not for kings, O Lemuel, in Proverbs 31. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In Proverbs chapter 20, look not upon the wine when it is red, and so on. Woe be to him that giveth his neighbor to drink, and I believe it's Habakkuk that was written around the same time as Daniel probably. He knew the stories of Noah and many other people in the Bible that had been destroyed by wine, and Lot and other people. And Daniel didn't avoid the wine because of a Jewish law, so don't use that as your scapegoat either. He avoided the wine because of his relationship with God. Number one, Daniel continued in his spiritual purity. He said, I'm not going to change on that one. I'm not going to give in on that one. I'm going to purpose in my heart. Number two, Daniel continued in his humble witness. Daniel continued in his humble witness. Look at Daniel chapter 2, and I want to point this out to you very quickly. Verse 26 through 28. This is one of Daniel's first direct interactions with Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar found them 10 times better. Daniel got promoted above his fellows, even above Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says Daniel got put so high that he was able to request that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be put where they were put in this chapter. But at this point, Daniel may have only had one main interaction with Nebuchadnezzar. Then in verse 26, the Bible says this. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And he goes on and tells the king his dream and the interpretation thereof. We find out an amazing thing that happened in the Bible, and I just want to share it with you real quickly. One of the littlest known authors of the Bible, and I've shared this somewhere recently, not obviously in Kyle's Anderson Chapel, but one of the littlest known authors in the Bible was not a Jew. Sometimes you'll hear it quoted, there's approximately 40 authors of the Bible, all Jewish men or something like that, but this is not actually the case. And if you read the Bible somewhat carefully, you'll see there's a few other people that are quoted in the Bible, of course, but there's only a few exceptions to the 40 Jewish men thing. And one of the most amazing exceptions to the Jewish man idea of the authors of the Bible, or the pens, as Pastor Wilkerson loves to explain it, of the Bible, is a heathen king named Nebuchadnezzar. If you look at Daniel chapter 4, you'll find out that Nebuchadnezzar isn't just a believer in the true God by this point. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar is, according to the Bible doctrine, Nebuchadnezzar is a Holy Spirit-filled man of God who's speaking as he's moved by the Holy Ghost and is authorizing words written down as God's words in God's book. And Nebuchadnezzar, the heathen king, goes from being a god, a person who's willing to name Daniel Belteshazzar after the name of his own god, to somebody who says in Daniel chapter 4, the last couple of verses, "Now I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven." And he finishes with the phrase, "Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase," referring to himself. God can put you down if you're in pride. And Nebuchadnezzar went on a process. Nebuchadnezzar got saved. Let me give you four thoughts about Nebuchadnezzar. You don't need to write all these down, just kind of sub-points here. Did you know that people need to know that you believe Jesus? The Bible makes a famous saying, and it's a very famous verse, and it's a great verse, and it's very, very important for us. In Matthew 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And by the way, some people refer to that as lifestyle evangelism. That doctrine is straight out of hell, but I will say this. People need to see that you have a lifestyle that matches what you preach. That's the point. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And that is so, so, so important. But I want to point out something in that verse. The Bible says they may see your good works and glorify your Father. There's only one way they'll know you have a Father, and that's if you told them first. They won't look at your life unless your mouth is open first. They won't know about your life. I've met many a Christian that I didn't know was a Christian until I asked them. They won't know about your life. They won't be able to glorify your Father unless they know you have a Father. People need to know that you believe Jesus, number one. And by the way, if there's somebody in your life right now that doesn't know you believe Jesus, tell them today. Number two, people need to know that Jesus has helped you. And you see this progression in Daniel. I think it's amazing. Right away, the king knew that Daniel believed God, but he didn't just know that. He saw Daniel's life shine for him. That's important too. And you see that here in chapter 2. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, I don't think, was saved yet. But Nebuchadnezzar says, "Your God must be pretty good because he changed you." That's basically what happened. He says, "Your God is awesome. You clearly have your God all over your life." He didn't want it for himself yet, but he said, "You got your God on your life." Number three, people need to know that you want them to believe. Hopefully we're covering all three of these when we go soul winning, right? I'm a Christian. God's changed my life. I want you to believe, right? But even people you're not officially giving the gospel to, I wonder if they know that you'd like for them to be like you are. Without going into details, and I don't know all the details. Many of you know more details than I do, but I was talking to Ethan last night at church, sitting next to Ben, who was sitting next to Isaac. And, you know, I love seeing that progression where there's people not just saying, "Hey, I have a God, but I'd like you to get my God. I'd like you to get connected as connected as I am." And the last thing, people need to see that Jesus can help them. Isn't that the progression that ought to happen with every person in the world? That's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 4, we don't have time to look at it, but in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar tells his story, and he realizes the God of Daniel is the one that stepped in on my life. And I love that progression that happened with the people around me. I love for them to know that I believe Jesus, first of all, know that Jesus helped me, second of all, know three, that I want them to believe, number four, Jesus is available and wants to help them. And I hope that can happen every time I go soul, and I hope that can happen. But let me ask you this, how are you doing in comparison to Daniel? Would you continue in your humble witness? We see in this key story of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, that Daniel said, "Hey, it's all about a God in heaven who is able." By the way, "God is able" is a phrase that Daniel must have said a lot, because even in Daniel, it's repeated at least three times. And there's a lot of good sermon outlines out of this, out of that, and all that stuff. But here's the point. Daniel didn't stop talking to Nebuchadnezzar just because the first time didn't go very well. Daniel continued in a humble witness. And by the way, for 70 years, Daniel was not a normal person. He was a slave. But Daniel continued in his witness. By the way, a random statement, confidence does not come from ability or success, but it comes from having the right focus. You won't get more confidence as a soul winner because you lead more people to Christ. You'll become more confident as a soul winner because you're more focused on the Jesus Christ who wants to save them. I know faithful soul winners in this room right now that I even have a name written down here that's in this room. I'm not going to say his name now, but a faithful soul winner for many, many years who I don't think, by comparison, would have a lot of success percentage-wise, but I do believe he's one of the most confident soul winners I've ever met because he's got the right focus. And I hope that can be for you. Number one, Daniel continued. I forgot what we said. Daniel continued something. In spiritual purity, Number two, Daniel continued in a humble witness. And then number three, the last point, and we'll share some other thoughts real quick. Number three, I skipped some stuff, I apologize. Number three, Daniel continued in his walk with God. I hesitate to share this point because it's automatically, when I say that phrase, I feel like Daniel continues walking, it's like, okay, it's another one of those, I got that point, let's go on. But I feel like I need to mention a couple things about the walk with God. First of all, a walk with God is easily hidden, but yours shouldn't be. The Bible does tell us to pray in our closet, yes. But there ought to be nobody that knows you that doesn't know you have a walk with God. I know there's a fine line there. I know you're supposed to be humble. We mentioned that at point two. But let me just say this. A lot of us hide behind the ability to be secret and hide the lack of a walk with God behind that ability to be secret. Nobody in this college asked you how many hours you spent with God this morning, so I'm not going to spend any time. And by the way, I believe there's people in this room that did spend hours. I believe there's also a lot of people in this room that spent no time with God, and I'm not trying to embarrass you because you only know it. And that's okay. But it ought not to be that way. Somebody else ought to know you read the Bible. Somebody else ought to see you read the Bible, not because you're trying to be proud or stupid or silly or fake or whatever. You know, on the bus, you open the Bible just to pretend like you're doing it. I'm not talking about that, but you know what I'm saying. Don't let yourself get away with not doing it. That's what I'm saying. At the point in the famous story, you know where we're going to go, Daniel chapter 6. Let's go there real quick. At that famous point in the story, Daniel was a humble servant of Jesus Christ, humble servant of the God who loved him, but everybody in Babylon knew that he was going to pray three times a day. And that was not because he was proud. It was because he had a habit that he was willing to let other people keep him accountable to. How you doing? How am I doing? Yeah, I'm a preacher, and I love to preach, and God changed me and made me into a preacher. When I was in Bible college, I hated preaching. I didn't want to be that type of person, but God has changed me. But I can go tomorrow morning, and I can skip reading the Bible if nobody knows I'm supposed to do it. And so can you. Daniel continued. That's the first main thing I wanted to draw out. Let's look at Daniel 6, if you can just kind of glance there. I'm going to point out a couple things. In verse 5, it says, the last two words of verse 5 are, his God. That's the bad guys talking about Daniel. They said, his God. In verse 10, almost toward the end, it says, before his God. That's God talking about him. Verse 11, before his God. And then in verse 16, when he's getting put in the lion's den, this is when the king is kind of sad. He's crying. He's been up all night trying to change it. He said, thy God. At the end of the verse, he says, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I love how every time God's mentioned here, it's the God of Daniel, the God of Daniel, the God of Daniel. It's a very strong connection here. Thy God, whom thou servest continually. That's kind of what we're talking about today, right? And verse 20, skip down to verse 20. The king says the same thing. This is the next morning, by the way. The king says, hey, oh, Daniel, I got a question for you. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee? And of course, we know Daniel's answer, O king, live forever. By the way, the Bible, Darius here calls God the living God. And I think it's awesome that Daniel wishes that Darius can live forever with that God. But verse 22, my God. Verse 23, the very last two words, his God. Verse 26, the God of Daniel. I get the feeling that Daniel was pretty possessive. I don't have the note written down, but I will say this. The more that you have a relationship with God, the more possessive you will be of him. And the more possessive you will feel. You know, a lot of us struggle with knowing if God really loves us. And I will agree that that's a struggle for me too. But you know when I don't struggle? It's when I give him my time. You know, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. But so often I don't realize his love until I'm loving him back on a daily basis. You know, when I feel the most loved is not necessarily when I wake up in the morning and say, what a beautiful sunset. Oh, God, you made the weather so good, or you made the weather so bad, or whatever it is. God, I don't feel really close to God. But you know when I really feel close to God is after I've talked to him, after I've been with him, then I realize more his love. And when I have that feeling of my God, the God of Daniel, so to speak, when I have that feeling, it's not just because he fills me with oozy-goozy love, but because I get to talk to him, I get to spend time with him. When I read his Bible, that's when I feel his love. When I go to him in prayer and complain to him and cry out to him and ask him for help and say, God, I need you so much, that's when I feel most loved by God, and you will too. Be careful. Yes, God does love you first, and his love ain't changing, but you'll realize it when you go to him. Continue has two definitions, though. Some of you may be thinking, okay, that's good to continue. Let's continue like Daniel. But I want to remind everybody, continue has, if you look in the Oxford Dictionary of English, you can even find the same dictionary on your iPhone or whatever. But there's two primary definitions of continue. Don't look it up now, please. The first definition, at a glance, basically says persist. Other synonyms of that are remain, carry on. That's what you would assume we're saying today, right? To keep on doing it, right? But there's a second primary definition of continue, and I want to encourage somebody with this thought, and that is this, recommence or resume after interruption. Can I say very clearly, very simply today, if you didn't walk with God today, don't make that an excuse to not do it tomorrow. You can still be a continuer even if you stopped in the middle. I don't know, maybe Daniel missed a few days there. That's not the point. It doesn't say he got every single day, but it does say this. The second day after he messed up, he continued. That's exactly what I want you to do. You know, how many times have you heard somebody go on a diet? And I've done this myself, and you can tell I've gone on lots of good diets. No, but I'm this way because I have diabetes, not because I'm a healthy eater. But I've gone on diets before, and I've failed miserably. You know what I've done after that? I've wanted to fail some more. Here's what I'm saying this morning. Continue. Don't keep failing. Yeah, you failed today, you messed up, but continue. Continue in the right. Don't stop. I want to give you another thought, another person that I think is worthy of our admiration and emulation. Acts 26:22, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there very quickly. If anything, I'd like you to stay in Daniel 1, if you could go back to Daniel 1, actually. If you can go fast, you can get to Daniel 1 in a minute. But I'd like maybe for you to stay in Daniel 1. I'm going to read Acts 26:22. The Bible says this. I got to hurry. This is Paul preaching. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue. And I'll stop there. We see in the Bible that Daniel continued. And what a great encouragement he is to us. For 70 years, he said, I'm going to keep walking forward. I'm going to keep going forward for God. I'm going to keep going for God. But here we see Paul. Paul said the same thing. He said, present tense. He said, I got some help from God, and I continue. I continue. Yes, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. A night and a day I've been in the deep. I've been in perils of waters, perils by my own countrymen. I've been kicked down, knocked about, messed with, almost killed, persecuted from city to city. Most people don't want to listen to me. Nobody wants to follow me sometimes. Demas has forsaken me. But hey, he said, hey, I continue. I was thinking this week, what a great blessing. I don't know if everyone on the platform can say the same thing, but I've had some good roommates over the years. And I went to a tournament at State Line a couple weeks ago, and I got to meet two of my former roommates. They're more well-known than I am, and I'm good with that. But two of my roommates, that you know what? They've continued. I got a text message a week and a half ago from a former roommate who's a pastor in Maine who said, hey, you want to come preach at our church? And you know what? He's somebody who's continued. I often tell about some of my other roommates. I got a roommate in the Philippines who's a missionary, one of my greatest friends in the world, and a great, great influence on my life. But you know what he's done? He's continued out of Hiles Anderson College. I believe with all my heart that somebody today needs to make Daniel's decision, because it is a decision. Let's look at Daniel 1:8. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, we've read this earlier, I think, but the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. And then you see the rest, I believe, of the whole story of Daniel is based on this type of commitment that he made. Basically, what God says very clearly is this. Daniel decided to continue. And 70 years later, that was one of the main reasons, maybe the main reason, that he was still continuing. I don't always preach asking for a specific decision, but today I am. I'll just tell you exactly what decision I want you to make. I want you to make the decision today. Say whatever it is that God has you to do or to be or how to be, I want you to have these three words as your decision. I will continue. I will continue. Continuing requires a commitment, and you must decide, I will continue. When you don't know your next step, when your ministry isn't producing the results you expect, say, I will continue. When everyone else seems better than you are, when people don't want to help you, when my leaders don't communicate with me, I will continue. When it's easier to quit, when it would make sense to just float instead of fight, I will continue. When everyone wants me to fail, when I'm overlooked, underappreciated, I will continue. When I fail a class or get financially withdrawn, I will continue. When I lose my job or my girlfriend or my boyfriend breaks up with me, I will continue. When I don't know my next step, when I finish college maybe here, or when I finish this or finish that, like Brother King talked about last night, I will continue. When I'm falsely accused, like we were in China, I will continue. When there's a dry spell in the ministry, when someone gets home, when someone back home gets sick, I will continue. When my close friend, or an acquaintance for that matter, or a family member turns away from God, or leaves a good church, or steps backward instead of forwards, or runs away, I will continue. When a leader fails, I will continue. When I get rejected or ignored by someone I care about, I will continue. When I'm underappreciated, or underpaid, or underrecognized, or underpraised, I will continue. When my car breaks down, I will continue. When my roommate leaves college, my family member passes away, there's a season of discouragement. When I get someone I invest in leaves church, I will continue. Maybe when I get injured, I will continue. Maybe when there's a church split back home, I will continue. When I have a chronic illness, I will continue. When a friend betrays me, when co-laborers leave the path of truth, when there's marriage troubles, I will continue. When a child dies, and by the way, let me interrupt myself and say this. I was thinking about this morning. You know, when our child died in China, our infant daughter, Terza, I don't know all that my wife went through. I know she went through more than I did, but I do know this. She had already decided long ago, I will continue. When there's financial setbacks, I will continue. When there's a stroke or a heart attack, when there's cancer, I will continue. When I fail, I will continue. When I'm tired, I will continue. When I'm discouraged, I will continue. When I'm disappointed, I will continue. When there's death, I will continue. When I'm disillusioned, I will continue. When I'm unsure of myself, I will continue. When I feel hopeless, I will continue. When I get corrected, I will continue. When I'm forbidden for whatever reason to do what I think I ought to do or I think I want to do, I will continue. When I'm forsaken or confused or hurt or distracted or tempted or defeated or repentant or happy or encouraged or weak or passive or floating along or struggling or poor or rich or jealous or too slow or too fast or I'm fruitless in my ministry, I'm fruitless in my family, or I'm frustrated, I'm alone, or I'm overanalyzed, everyone's watching me, or there's high expectations, or it's not cool anymore to follow God extremely and be a crazy servant for Christ, or someone calls me ugly or someone calls me crazy or whatever it is. When I feel unmotivated, unable, or overlooked, or anything else, I will continue.